Welcome to the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast, where we discuss important topics for buyers, sellers, and investors in the Toronto area real estate market. Here's your host, Randy Selzer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. Today, we have a very special guest. Cody Tritter is joining us today. And I was going to say he's from the wonderful city of Calgary, but there's something amiss here. He's definitely not in Calgary today by the look of the tropical sun, the beautiful summer sun behind him. But Cody, he is a managing partner and realtor with Real Estate Partners, REPYYC. And he's one of the definitely one of the dominant brokerages in the Calgary area in residential real estate. And so Cody's got a team of more than 20 people working for him, and he's just been lighting it up in Calgary over the last few years. So Cody, welcome to the podcast, man. Nice to have you on board.
Thank you. That was actually, I love that intro. That was, I normally people ask me to do the intro, and I feel like you just nailed it out the park there. So that was great.
Well, we better tell everybody's going to be asking. You know, there's a where, okay, what's going on? That's Calgary. No, it's not, obviously.
No, this is beautiful Long Beach, California. We're going to be going on a cruise pretty soon here. So this is not Calgary weather. I was actually on a Zoom call earlier, and there may be a squirrel that comes up and down here at some point. But
great.
I'm currently hosting up in an Airbnb in Long Beach, and it snowed yesterday or a couple days ago in Calgary in a winter blizzard. So
don't tell people that. Don't tell them. Yeah.
No, I had to get away.
Good for you. You're going to have a wonderful trip, I'm sure. So anyways, welcome aboard. And so we have not met before. Your assistant had contacted me and gave me quite a bit of information about you. And I have to say, I'm really impressed, man. Like, you guys are really, really rocking it in Calgary. But I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Are you originally from Calgary?
Born in Calgary. I spent a little bit of time out east, actually out in Nova Scotia for a little bit when I was younger.
Okay.
That was a great experience. Like until I was probably 7-8 years old, I got to live the more outdoorsy life. Moved to Saskatchewan.
It got
really cold there, and we didn't last very long there. I know you were saying earlier, like that you know you experienced the coldest weather ever in Edmonton, which I wouldn't doubt. But spend a winter in Saskatchewan, and it's a whole different beast, man. It's cold there.
Prairies, man. It's an interesting place for sure.
Yeah. But
Calgary has the Chinooks. I've been there and I've experienced it in winter where all of a sudden it goes like 50 degrees warmer. But as I also told you one time, I was there visiting on a personal visit and it snowed in June. So anyways, that creates
we get that mixed weather, right?
So this creates a lot of shock because I know a lot of people have been moving to Alberta over the last little while from British Columbia and also from Ontario. A lot of people moving to Alberta. I've been in the industry a long time, and I do believe that it's a pricing issue, really. It's just affordability. The prices here in the Greater Toronto Area are just ridiculous. And Vancouver's even worse. I mean, Vancouver is off the charts. So here in the GTA, if you're looking at just a modest little house, like a normal, a detached, a single family residence, but nothing special, in the suburbs, you're looking at about $1.2 million for just nothing special. And for a lot of people buy condos here, because a lot of high rises. And a one-bedroom condo is $5 to $550, a two-bedroom $6 to $650 in the suburbs. Okay, downtown, it's even more. So we have, there's definitely an affordability issue. And we've all gone through the interest rate increases over the past two and a half years. We had, I think, 10 interest rate increases. Mortgage rates went from under 2% to 5% and variables are over 6%. And so that's created some issues for a lot of people. So a lot of folks from Ontario, a lot of folks from British Columbia have looked around and said, hey, Calgary's a pretty good place and the cost of living is lower. Maybe we should check it out. So I'm sure you guys have been seeing, not that it's not already a dynamic market without all this influx of people, but you've grown a huge team there. And so what do you think? I mean, before we can talk about a few things today, but the number one question that I get asked by people is what's going on with the market? We had the interest rate announcement or non-announcement yesterday where the Bank of Canada decided to hold one more time. And there's a lot of so-called experts out there that were saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have dropping rates for the spring market. It's going to take off. And that hasn't happened. So meanwhile, in the United States, they're on a tear right now. You know, if right around your Airbnb there, There's, you know, things are booming. They've got a lot of employment growth and a lot of price appreciation. They've got inflation going on. And so they're not going to lower their rates, I don't think, or they're just going to put gasoline on the fire. So we're up in Canada here where the economy is a little weaker, but I think the Bank of Canada is going to be very reluctant to lower rates. So there you go.
Yeah,
that's it. That's my
two cents. It's interesting, hey? Like, I actually was looking too, like, you know, this is the part where it's like, you were saying this earlier at our onloading convo, is like the market, like in Toronto to Vancouver to Calgary, like Canadian real estate isn't a thing. There's no, like, you know,
right.
like it's not the same. And I think it's the same in the US, right? Like every state is its own entity, its own space with its own diverse market that, you know, you really have to understand and know. And then there has to be a bit of a USP, like a unique selling proposition of why you want to move to that area, right? If you're going to move there, right? And that's where I think like affordability is a piece. I also think like Western Canada just kind of had it. It's like it was a bit in the dark, and now like you've got social media, people are seeing like, you know, how beautiful it is, how vast it is, how much like it, like expanse, and it's like, hey, that doesn't look that bad. You know, they're not just a bunch of cowboys out there, and it's, I think people are starting to see it's a lot more relatable. But affordability, man, like that's where, I mean, Premier Smith, our premier, he put out a post the other day, and it read something from Maclean's magazine, and it said like, in Ontario, I work three jobs and could barely afford a mortgage. In Alberta, I'm mortgage free, you know? And
there
like,
you go.
For me, I've never thought about moving to Ontario, but well, if the markets were flipped and I'm sitting on, you know, a property where I can sell it and then move to Ontario and be mortgage free, it sounds kind of, you know.
Yeah. We also have a lot of stuff here where, within the province as well, where people are just saying, you know what, Toronto or the immediate suburbs, Mississauga, which is where I'm at, it's too much. So they're moving further out. They're going to places like Guelph and Kitchener, Windsor, Brantford, smaller places further out. So there's also that migration where people, you know, you get to the point where you can't afford it, or you're eating cat food because, you know, every single penny, like you say, you got three jobs and every nickel is going to the bank for your mortgage payments. So it's tough. It really is. And so give our listeners an idea, and I certainly am not an expert at all, just a rough average, I won't hold you to it, but rough average prices in, let's say, it doesn't have to be in downtown Calgary, but in a fairly attractive but not upper neighborhood, but just a normal neighborhood, what would you be looking at for a single family home, just average size, ballpark?
Somewhere between 6 and 750, you'd probably be getting a good home for, right? And that's like, you know, and like, and this is a cool thing about Calgary is like,
wait a minute. A single family home, a detached residence between 600 and 750.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Okay. Interview's over. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. That's incredible. That is.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that's there, where, like, that we're seeing a huge amount of people coming from Ontario looking at just even investments, because it's like, to the idea, like people know that, like this is my biggest philosophy, I say, is Canada, no matter what people, like you see, if you go online, you'll see people saying like, oh, Canada's hurting right now. Like we're even saying it, right? That we're hurting, right? But the thing is, like when I look at Canada globally, as like a global real estate market, if I were to pick, like if I'm around the world and I'm not happy where I am, what are the countries I'd move a family to? You know, and if there's a top 10 list, Canada's gotta be on it every time. It's gotta be, right? Like, we're safe, we're isolated, we've got resources, we've got, like, it checks all the boxes for most people. And so, like,
I agree.
And that's where I say, like, when people say, hey, like, these prices are crazy. And I'm like, but you have 8 billion people that probably want to live in this 30 million country.
You're so right.
You know,
you are so right. And you're absolutely right. You look around the world and, well, we all have a fantasy. My fantasy is to retire and go live on a beach somewhere and, you know, the Bahamas, right, or something, but whether that'll happen or not, probably not. But when you're talking about, especially raising a family, and I love the United States, like it's a great country. They're supposed to be the leader, right, of the West.
Yeah.
But they have some issues, and raising a family there, you know, there can be some issues depending on where you're located, for sure. Especially this year, I think is going to be a year of high drama, and that's the most political I'm going to talk today, because I never get into politics. But they really do, and they know it too. They know they have some problems right now. I'm 100% with you there. Canada is a wonderful place to live and relatively safe. But we got ourselves we got kind of boxed in, and you can't really point fingers at anybody. We had a series of a number of years where interest rates were ridiculously low. You know, when you get a mortgage under 2%, that's like free money. It's free money, 2%. Mm-hmm. And so people went out and did, they got a little reckless, and they were here anyways. There were bidding wars, crazy bidding wars where people would pay 100 grand, 200 grand over asking. It's crazy. Great for the seller. But now we're at a point where the rates have gone up, and we're never going back to 2% mortgages again. I don't think so in our lifetime. Never. So we kind of boxed ourselves in. It's not just Canada, because the whole world was dealing, and then COVID came along. It was another reason to keep the interest rates really low. But now we're at a point where nobody can afford anything. And that's kind of where we're at. So I tip my hat to you, though. When I looked at your stats, man, you've really done amazing things there. You've grown a team. And how long has your company been around? It hasn't been that long, I don't think.
Yeah, I think we started in we launched a team in about or it was literally actually a month before 5 years ago. So May 2018, we launched our team. I had a lot of experience running kind of a solo agent, and then I joined a team. I actually gave up my license for a few years. I joined a team and did their marketing, and like I love sales, I love people. I could go show and do homes all day, but my philosophy in this business is like that like my potential is more seen through growing a business, and my skill set's more driven on like the systems, processes, and growth side of it versus the, day-to-day sales. And I think for me, it's because I've seen, the ability in real estate even to properly scale. And quite frankly, like this industry even lacks like a lot of, I wouldn't say a bit of innovation, a bit of like forward thinking. And so like, there's a lot of complacency in it, right? And like people even, you see it online sometimes, consumers saying like, all a realtor does is list a property or whatever, and it's very bare bones, right? Which we all know is not the case, but there is a way to do it even more so, and like to add and stack. And like for us, it's like I've said this before, but like my, I knew a team. Their motto was to keep people, was to basically like strangle them enough that they can't grow out of the team, but they won't fail on the team. And I hated that. And I said like, hey, I want to make it so that like when people join our team, they don't want to leave because the value is just too high. Like, I want them, even if they're making a fortune on our team, I want them to look at it and go, like, I don't want to have to compete against these guys. I don't want to have to do the lead gen they're doing, the listing presentation they're doing. I don't want to have a full-time photographer, videographer, all this stuff. Like, I don't want to have to manage all that. I have to just show up, do a listing presentation, take care of these clients, get a referral, and I'm good to go. Like, that's all I got to do, and everything else is taken care of for me.
Cody, I don't know if the general public has any idea, but I can tell you realtors listening to this podcast today will know it is really difficult to put together a team in real estate, and make it successful and keep those people on board. I've been in the industry 30 years. I hate to say that, but I'm from the Jurassic era when I first started. But it is, and I've seen people. There's been some successful teams in my marketplace here. I've seen them, but a lot of them have come and gone because there was people falling out. I'm doing more work than you. You're getting more money than me. This happened, that didn't happen, that sort of thing. And there's been a lot of times when, and these were successful teams for a while, but they tended to kind of drift apart after a while. So to put a team together the way you have, and I think I love your approach that you want. It's not that, I mean, there is some competition amongst the realtors in your group, I'm sure, but they also want each other to succeed. I'm sensing that when I hear you talk, and you've kind of put that in place for them. I think that's awesome. That's fantastic. Not easy to do. Not easy to do at
And
all.
I won't take all the credit for it. I've got my business partner Dusko, who's been incredible. And this is the thing too, is I think like if you're ever gonna align yourself with someone, make it someone that's a bit like you said, there's gonna be issues, but like make it a little uncomfortable because like you don't want to be good at the same thing, right? Like you don't want to have the same skill sets because then there's no real path going, right? Like Dusko is a completely different person than me and does his own space that really benefits the business the same way I do. And then the other part is like, agents in this industry, I find there's, I don't want to say greed, but like it's like, if you can capitalize every dollar. And I think like the most successful way to grow a team is like understanding that it's a long-term play. And like we weren't printing cash at any point in the beginning at all, right? Like it's a very much like, grind, a lot of sacrifice, but like I'd rather, there's certain situations where I'd rather, like if an agent runs into a situation where they're gonna owe 2 grand because they made a mistake for a washer dryer, there's a good chance we're probably gonna take care of them and like help them
Oh,
and
wow.
not put that burden. Because like in the end, like that person, that's a human, that's a person part of my team, I want them to like have a good relationship. I don't want them to think that like I care more about 2 grand than them. And it's like I can't do
That's
that 24/7, right? I
wow.
can't do that 24/7, but like you know, there's just, and that's where I think if you just, I don't know, like I'm a big believer in just being a human, a good person, and you'll attract the right people and retain them, right?
Absolutely. Well, I can tell you that's pretty rare because there's a lot of people, there's a lot of teams out there that would say, well, it's your mistake. You pay the $2,000 for the washer dryer. So good for
Yeah.
you. That's great. What goes around comes around. I actually believe in karma big time, in especially in this industry, that if you treat people well, usually it comes back. Yeah, good for you.
And it's
So,
so small. I mean, like, I know you guys have a ton of agents there, but like, you know,
oh, yeah.
we've just kind of exploded a little. But like,
Right.
when I got into it, I think we only had 5,000 agents. And I'm like, you know, every relationship in this industry should matter. And like, you should be, even when people leave, like, I want it to be on great terms. I want it to be like, you can still do deals under us as long as, you know, you're communicating with us. And like, it's
Right.
not just like a, you're cut off from us and we're never going to talk to you again kind of thing, right?
Well, there's a lot of agents here in Ontario. I think the last count, there was just under 100,000 people with a real estate license in the province, which is way too many. But a
Wild,
lot of
way
them,
too.
yeah, many of them are part-time. You know, they've got a full-time job and they work at the post office and they do one or two deals with their relatives and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think you're also seeing with the shift in the market over the last year and a half, 2 years, a lot of people are dropping out or they're parking their
Yeah.
license and they're just saying, you know, it's not working. You know, 2 years ago I did 10 deals. This year I did three. And I might as well be working at McDonald's for the amount of money I made, right? So
Yeah.
there's a lot of that going on, and I think that it's probably a good thing. I don't want to sound cold-hearted to those people,
Yeah.
but it's all part of the pie too. Each one of those guys that were doing one or two deals a year with their relatives took that out of the overall real estate pie for the rest of the full-time professional agents. And so hopefully some of that will come back. But you're also seeing, I think, in Ontario for sure, you're going to see, I don't know the official numbers, but there's definitely anecdotally, I can tell you there's a lot of people that are just saying, forget it. It's too hard right now. Can't make a sale. And so they're going to go to,
Well,
they got to do something. They got to pay the rent. They got to pay the mortgage. They got to eat. You know, one
yeah.
thing
If
that
you're only
realtors
doing a couple deals too.
shouldn't be
Oh,
doing
sorry,
it.
go ahead.
I was just
Yeah.
going to say the one thing I found in my long career, every realtor that I've ever met, including some extremely high-end successful ones, have gotten into trouble at some point because it's a
Yeah.
high-risk business. It is. The general public doesn't
100%.
understand. There's no biweekly paycheck. Like if you don't make a sale and you know the car company wants their car payment, the mortgage company wants their mortgage, and the world can be a cold place if you can't pay. You know,
Yeah.
you go 60 days, you might get away. You go 90 days, it's gone. They're going to tow away your car. And so
And honestly, like the way, like I'd say this too, a bit of knock on the industry as a whole is like, it should be a little bit harder to get into it, and it should be a little harder to,
I
like, there should
agree.
be some levels of that, you know, because in the end, like realistically, if you're only doing 2 to 3 deals, like you could be doing them very perfect, but like in all likelihood, if you're only doing 2 or 3 and you don't have great mentorship or support from your whoever, you're probably missing something. Like,
Yeah,
and
I
as much as
totally
people
agree.
think it's just like, right, as much as people think it's just you know, you go and look at the home and you open the door and then you buy it, it's like that's not how it is. And like and only the people that go through actual issues and have issues or have been like misled, they're the ones that go like, okay, it is actually a bit more intensive than what I thought it was.
Real estate can be a very interesting ride. It can be really great, or
Yeah.
there's all sorts of trouble you can get into for sure. But you guys are doing great. So, question about your company. Okay, so I got it. It's Real Estate Partners. So you're not affiliated with a RE/MAX or a Royal LePage or anybody. You're an independent. Is that correct?
We're actually with Real Broker. So Real Broker is our brokerage, and then
Okay.
Real Estate Partners is our team name. And then this is fine. Like when we first started, we did branding. Like I mean, I brand everything, but rep YYC, right? I should be wearing a hat too. Like I always wear, it's just
Fine,
because I'm not making
Cody. Come
anyone money
on,
on it,
man.
now. I know. But like Rep YYC is our brand, Real Estate Partners shortened REP, and then YYC is our airport code. It's kind of like our just do it. Like we're Nike's the rep Real Estate Partners, just do it's our Rep YYC kind of thing. And that's like
Gotcha.
our, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it's
Okay.
like for us when we started the team, it was you know, we saw a lot of people in the industry that was doing it the old school way of like single name, like you know, blank John and Associates. And it's like for us, we knew that being on a team, like for me at least, I want like, because that's the thing with a team, the structure, I think a lot of times is like the top guy and then everyone below them are the associates, right? Or whatever it is, right?
Good
For
time.
us, it's like, hey, you're all like, we say this to people too. Like, I will give you every key, every tool to be successful in this industry, but you have to be able to show up every day, work, take advantage of what we're offering you, call the leads, right? And so, like, yeah, the industry is kind of, it's funny that way that it's like, it was very, I'd say more you know, the top guy. And I'm like, hey, no, like the way this is working is you're running a business within my business. And so like, I want to enable you and get you going, but I'm not making calls for you. I'm not going to go do your listing presentation for, I'll help you in your listing presentation. Absolutely. But like, I'm not going to go and do it for you. Right.
Can you tell me if, do you have minimum requirements for production in order to keep them on the team?
No. And that's something we've really struggled and talked about a lot with, because you know, if you have someone on the team that isn't producing and has a bad attitude, it's a bit of a black hole, right? That you have to be aware of. Yeah. And you don't want other people to get into that space, because like, you know, it's some, as simple as someone saying something like, oh, the leads suck. Like the leads aren't any good. And it's like, well, you know what, man, like as much as you may be feeling that personally, I would love to sit down with you, listen to you make phone calls, see what your follow-up system is, see how you're leveraging our systems and our marketing. And then let's say that. If we can both agree on it, let's say that. But typically, you know, like I'll give you an example. We had a guy join our team, super motivated, incredible in person, D personality, if you know it. And we get on, I hear him listen on the phone and he's just a driver, right? So he calls someone and he'd be like, hey, you signed up on our website. Are you looking to buy a home? Like very cold, very just like no anything. And they'd be like, they almost like put off. Like they were like, no, you got the wrong number or whatever. And I'm like, dude, right. who did you just call? Like someone you hate? No, you need to call someone that's going to actually like build rapport.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or like, well, you hear a call and the person will be like, my two kids and my dog. And then they just skip past it. And like, this person's like emphasizing how important that is. They just skip past it. And you're like, okay, dude, that was like the perfect, like, oh, yep. What schools do you want to get your kids into? What, you know, do you take your dog to the dog park? Let's talk about that. Like, yeah. There's some, you know, great parks there, right?
You know what? There's certain things you can teach. Like I was a Mike Ferry guy for many years. You probably heard of Mike Ferry, yeah. one of the top
Absolutely.
Trainers.
Yeah.
And I was one of those guys, man, back in the day, I was out door knocking and cold calling. I still remember the scripts. I still remember them, you know, 25 years later, yeah. But you know what? It worked. And but there's a certain, I was pretty good at it, but there's a certain personality that you just have to have that people can empathize with you. If you can't talk to people, you're going to have a tough time in real estate. I believe maybe you should go into commercial real estate because that's a different ball game completely. There it's just cut and dry. Numbers work or they don't work, you know, but these are people's homes.
Literally.
We're talking about homes here. You know, you're sitting in their living room or in their dining room talking about selling their house. I mean, that's how much more personal can it get? Or they're telling you their innermost secrets about why they're selling. It could be a good reason, could be a bad reason. You never know. And these are, you know, it's personal. It really is. So I've always felt, I shouldn't say, but I always felt that women were especially good at empathizing with people, more so than guys. Like we're kind of taught to be, well, you know, we don't get too personal, right? But women are great at that. They'll hear about the thing about the school or the thing about the dogs, and they'll just go off on that.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that in today's world of 2024, but
it's
a compliment.
I almost hire that way. It is. And like so for our inside sales team, we have a team that does, because we generate roughly 3,000 to 4,000 leads per month, mainly through like PPC, SEO, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's not tangible for our agents to be, even if we have 30 agents, it's not tangible for them to be always making all the calls. And so we keep scaling our inside sales department, almost exclusively hire women because like they just have a better, like I've tried men and it's just like, they just don't do as well on the phone.
Yeah.
And especially if they're not an agent, like an agent, it's different, a guy versus girl a bit because like, you know, you can still demonstrate value and talk about certain things, but an inside sales agent, like, you know, they're not, it's not the same skill set. They're more of a nurturing situation and more just
nurturing.
Trying to,
that's the word nurturing.
Right?
That's it.
Yeah.
It's
and that's
in.
The, and 100%. And the thing about this is if you're doing online lead gen, you should be nurturing. If you're door knocking, you should be nurturing. Right. I met with a guy recently, who was on, and this is the thing too, why we have so many agents out there is because like you have people promising that like, you know, it's so easy to get your license and then it's so easy to get a Lambo and it's so easy to do all this.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, no, it's not. And even if you have the motivation and some of the skills you could like, so the guy's door knocking and he's out door knocking all these people. And then I'm like, what's your post door knock follow up? Like, what does that look like? And he's like, well, the guys that taught me, they told me to go and do a follow up door knock after. And I was like, okay, wow. That's okay. Crazy, right? Like, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to be like, and then I said, and how are you managing that? He's got like a note, like in his phone that like has these people's address and like notes about it. And I'm like, you're not using a CRM? No. And I was like, okay, like, right. And then in our community or in our city, we have automatic market reports as part of our software. Like, and really it's just a matter of like putting a person's info in, putting their community in, and then you're dripping them sold data every month. So if I'm out door knocking, at minimum, if every person I talk to, I'm like, hey, let me grab your email. I'm going to make sure you get some sold properties from the community every month, so you know what's going on in your area. It
And
wasn't
it's
doing that, and
free.
I'm like, think,
Yeah.
dude, free. And I'm like, think, like, if you talk to 500 people in the last 2 years doing this, that's 500 people that you could have been. You don't think one of those people getting your market report? I can tell you right now they will, because I do that, and we do get those people calling back. So, like, I promise you it works. You're just not doing it, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, like, if you're running your own business or whatever it is, it's like, you can hire all the right people, but you have to be just as, like, passionate about your business and what's every element to it, every pillar of it, because, like, you just don't know, like, you don't know what's going to work, what isn't going to work, when it's going to stop working. And so, like, you have to keep pushing and growing forward and growing what you're doing and
Right.
questioning, like, hey, if I've been doing this for a year and it's not working, I'm not seeing results,
Right.
why am I doing this? What should I be doing? What can I do better?
I totally agree with you. Everything you said, I totally agree. So I checked out your social media, man. Oh my goodness. Let me just read you some stats here that I just pulled before we started recording. Okay, Facebook, 5,000 followers. Not bad, pretty good. Instagram, 53,000 followers. LinkedIn, 15,000 followers on LinkedIn. YouTube, 10,000 subscribers. Are you kidding me? That's excellent. That's amazing numbers. So
We've been
tell
putting a lot of effort
Yeah.
on that. Yeah. And it's a mix of, paid advertisement, pushing. LinkedIn is actually, it's funny. My LinkedIn's just big because I got into recruiting probably 12 years ago. And that was like the tool where I started on with a recruiting company, and they were like, hey, go, like, they basically just said, here's your role, go get us business. And I had free rein to go do whatever I wanted. And LinkedIn was a huge one where I was just on there hammering and connecting people, and then, like, putting out. And honestly, like, even looking back now, like, I could look back at myself and say, like, there were so many missed opportunities there. Mainly, like, I'd say, because I'm more confined to someone else's. And that's why I love being an entrepreneur, because, like, if I'm like, hey, wouldn't it be nice to do this? I'm doing it. I'm the one doing it. I'd ra like I'm now I can just do that, right? And that's where, I love being, that's why I love real estate, even, because it gets that, it's an industry that allows you to be, if you really want to be creative and do different things, and, like, for our team, even, like I said, we got 20 different pillars of lead gen coming in at least, right? Different partners, different platforms, some self-managed, some just partnership sites. Like, I'm sure you guys have, like, do you guys, who's like your, other than like a Remax or a Redfin or Realtor.ca, like, who's the biggest sites out in Ontario, would you say? Point Two Homes?
Point Two Homes is right up there. Realtor.ca is probably number one. Probably number one. If you
Yeah,
Google any address,
for
that's going to
sure.
come up first. But there's a number of them now. I mean, it's global, and these big firms, they know it, right? So there's Zillow's moved into Canada.
Houseful. That's
Yes.
a big one
And
that's come out, yeah.
I can't think of them off the hand, but there's at least about a dozen of them now that all provide real-time listings, and some of them now providing sold data, which we couldn't do in the past. But as long as you sign up, you can get that information now, which is an interesting thing. But again, we go back to realtors being, some of them are set in their ways. They have to adapt. Technology has changed so much. But you guys really have a handle on that. I can tell you, I mean, I do my little YouTube channel. I have my YouTube channel and my podcast, and that does generate leads, but it's extremely time consumptive. A lot of time doing these recordings, which I love to do. I wouldn't do it if I didn't like it. But but you do get calls. I got one just recently. Lady wanted to sell her condo, and off the podcast, I said, "Well, how'd you find me?" Off the because who are you? She says, "Oh, I was on a flight from Chicago. I'm from Chicago to Toronto, and I was listening to your podcast." I'm going, "What?" I said,
That's
her
crazy.
name was Margaret. I said, "Margaret, you just made my day. Thank you so much." So we'll see how that goes. That's still a work in
That's
progress,
the
but
thing, right?
it does work.
SEO, PPC, podcast, like, anything will work. You just have to do it right, and you have to really, like, commit to wanting to do it right. And you have to believe, like, so SEO, I've probably spent well over $100,000 easily on companies and backlinks and all these other things that, like, that
How's that worked?
you
How's that worked out for
right?
you?
It's mixed, right? And I would never tell someone, like, go do SEO off the hop. It's a very long term. I wouldn't even say spend on it, because I don't think you necessarily have to pay to do it. I think, like, realistically, it's like, and you, it's like social media. Like, I have tons of agents we meet, especially new agents who come. I probably interview 1 to 4 agents a week with my operations manager, Slav. And so many people come in and they sit down and we're like, hey, so what's your plan to do business? And they go, I am going to post on social media. And you're like,
Really?
Okay. And what else? Right. And it's like, and what are you going to do? Well, I think I'm going to go do some listing videos. And then I just pull up my Instagram and I'm like, okay, but look, you see this stream of people here? These are all agents doing the exact same thing. So like, what else are you going to do? You know, what else is going to make you successful? Because like, if you think it's just like, do you have a huge sphere of people that are insanely passionate about you that you're bringing from somewhere else? Because if not, you
It's
know,
not easy, you
and
know.
honestly, it's
It
not.
isn't. You can post to your heart's content on Instagram, and but you get nobody commenting, and it's like, what's going on? It'll take a while to figure that out, but that's a hard thing
Well,
to do. But you
and
got
honestly,
tons of people on there. Amazing.
I don't do a great job of fostering a
Well,
good community, though. Do you know what I mean? And that's where it's like you have to like. You know, you want to like
interaction,
I look at
yeah.
some agents, right? Yeah, and actually genuine like if I so for me it's tough because like I've got 800 things going. It wouldn't be right for me to go, hey, I'm going to focus on my personal social media to grow my like it's I don't care about my business as much, right? But if I'm an agent who does, I would be very like intentional on what I'm doing with it. And like I say to a lot of agents, like you could have 10,000 followers and have no business. You could have 300 followers and a ton of business because those
Yes.
people all actually care about you and what you're doing, right? And like I couldn't tell you the number, but I bet you like of all of our referrals that we get, it's actually a small percentage of people to the core where it comes down to of the people referring us. But it's just like though and like when you get a good cheerleader, like they can be
The 80-20
huge for your
rule.
business.
Big time, big
Yeah.
time. Well, just going back to social media for 1 second, I see that you guys were voted the number two t real estate team in all of Canada for social media. So congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, we get the, those are funny, hey? Like, you get like, I mean, we just land, we're not big on those either. Like, we got, it's so funny, like, the way, like, some of them are a bit arbitrary. Like, our brokerage just released top results. We were the number two team for Q4. But in the same breath, like, the number one team is, I think, over 100, like, agents. Like, it's a complete, and right, and we were at RE/MAX before. They had the small team, mid-sized team, large teams, mega teams. Like, they had all these distinctions. So, like, we were the number one team at RE/MAX, but it wasn't the number one mega team. We were the number one just normal team, right? So just like it's kind of hokey. I try not to get too much into that because like I find if you get into that too much, agents get a little too into that. And I'm like, again, what is important to your business? Advertising that you're this good or like grow like deep meaningful connections and
Right.
actually having a pipeline and a CRM and all this stuff, you know? Those are the things that matter.
Right on, man. Right on. So what advice would you give to someone who's new in the business? I'm not going to say getting into the business because let's say somebody's been in the business for a year and a half. They've made a few sales. They're an independent. They're working with another company right now. What advice would you give to that person? What's the best things that they could do to improve their production, improve their long-term viability and their long-term relationships with their clients? What should they do?
I would say, like, I think the biggest thing is like, it's probably corny, generic advice, but like, I just said this to an agent who wanted to join our team and we turned her down. I just said, like, because we do a lot of online lead gen, and she said, I don't like making calls. And I was like, this
She's a
team
realtor.
isn't right for you,
Right.
right? I know, right?
Right.
I know. Like, I didn't want to get too deep into that, but I'm like, if you don't like making calls, you have to find out what it is that you're going to want to wake up every day and put 8 to 12 hours into. If you can't find what that is, if it's not, I'm not saying you make calls for 8 hours, right? But like, if you can't carve out 2 hours or an hour in a day to make phone calls, you know, what is that 1 hour you're going to do of prospecting, of lead generation, right? And it has to be, and honestly, like, go ask other agents what it's good, like, is that going to give me an ROI? And ask a few people, because like, I've had agents come. I mean, when I first got in the industry, one of the broker's trainers told me, go to the mall and just start shaking hands with people and introducing yourself, passing your card out.
I
And
knew
I
somebody who
sat there
did
going
that.
like,
Yeah.
was it successful? Because I've always crapped on it, but I mean.
I never did it, but I knew this guy who did that at Square One Shopping Center in Mississauga, and he got tons of business from it. He just stand around
Really?
smiling. You know, he's an approachable type of guy, handing out his card. Eventually, they probably kicked him out of the mall, but he had a ton of
Yeah.
business from that. That's so funny.
That's funny then. I like you know what? Maybe that was the guy that told me, and he moved to Alberta. But
Maybe.
it's like
Yeah.
you have to be a very special, unique person for that to work.
You
Like
do.
that's such a you know what I
Well,
mean. And if you don't have that in you, don't do that. You
no,
know.
for sure. And I'll go back to Mike Ferry just briefly. One of the things that stuck with me from that training all those years ago was that if you do 100 phone calls, 100 cold calls, you're going to get 99 rejections, and that's good. Every time you get a rejection, that's good because you're getting one place closer to the one guy that you talk to, the one person that you talk to that's going to say, yeah, we are thinking of selling. Would you mind coming over and having a look at the house? So every rejection is good because it gets you one step further to the one person out of 100, because you're going to get rejected 99 times. One person out of 100 is going to say, sure, actually, yeah, I've heard your name, or yeah, we did you sell a house around the corner, or that kind of thing. And that stuck with me. And that was back in the early 2000s that I took that training.
Still true today, because I'll tell you right now, like if I were to give you the numbers on lead generation, you know, we're generating thousands and thousands of leads. We're not generating hundreds of deals a month, right? It's like the 1 to 3% conversion is on par. And I like, if you're hitting 3% conversion online, please call me. I'd love to know what you're doing, what's going on, right? Because like, not common, right? And like, and if you are, it maybe it's real, like, you know, and that's the other thing too. I'll say that new like agents thinking about getting into the space is like, commit to what you're doing and know that it's like if you're doing SEO, know that it's going to be a 2-year commitment to that. And like, what specifically are you going to be targeting, and what niches are you trying to get first and getting some traction on? But like, you know, if you think like, I'm going to pay a company $3,000 or $5,000 for the next year, and then I'm going to be the number one SEO like result for whatever market, hey, I would pay twice that. I'd pay 3 times that much to do it. So, you know, like it's not how it works, right?
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with SEO, from my limited knowledge.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're checking all the boxes, Cody. It sounds like your team is doing great. And I tip my hat to you. But you got to get up from number 2 in all of Canada for social media. I want to see you number 1 this time next year, man. Come on.
I'll work on it. I might have to find someone obscure to agree to it.
Light a fire.
I'll go for it, but I have no promises on it. I can say, though, I will tell you this. I tell this to my agents. We'll always get better. Every week, I got like me and Dusko and Slav are always working on this business. And that's the other thing, too. Like, align with the right people. I guarantee our business wouldn't be half as successful if it was just Dusko and me. Like our operations manager, Slav, and this is a cool thing. He was an agent. He was our top agent, crushed it. And you see someone like that, you see value in them, and you go like, hey, this is a person I want to be aligned with long term. I want them in my business. They're a huge asset. And like, you know, that's where it's like you have to treat it like a business, because like, you know, you may not like, you know, you may not make all the money off that person that you think, which is a bad way to word it, but like you may not get everything you want out of them if you were to do it traditionally, but like treating that person right, making sure that they're winning, is far more valuable to your business long term than it is, you know,
totally agree,
squeezing out pennies, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, like I say, I think you're doing everything right. And I'm going to put your contact information underneath the video and in the podcast as well. And for any Ontario realtors listening to this, I urge you, if you've got people heading out to the Calgary area, that you give Cody and his team a call, because I'm sure they're going to take excellent care of them. And I wish you all the best.
Appreciate
Cody,
that.
You're welcome to come back on the podcast anytime you like. Anytime.
I'd love to be on again.
Anytime. Yeah. Anytime. In the meantime, another thing that for any of you listening who are not in real estate, one of the biggest problems that realtors have is they forget to take time off. They do. It's like riding a wave. You get on this wave and you can't take time off. It's just, and you need someone trusted to care for your clients while you're away. That's a big one. That's where having a team is really good too. But I
Randy,
wish
it's funny you say that, because like I love that, because we actually echo that to like before when we first started our business, it was like every guy, we were like grind, 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 right? Like as much you can grind. And then we're like, hey, these are people, like they're humans, they have families, they have whatever, right? Like, like recognize that. And we actually started pushing people, like, hey, dude, we're seeing you get burnt out. Book a vacation, like 2 months from now, book it, get it going. Because like if you don't, you're going to burn out. And then your production is going to suck anyways, because you're going to be like, why am I here? Get a vacation.
They'll get to the point where the phone rings and they don't want to answer it because they're burned out. They had enough. So good for you. So you're going to enjoy your cruise. I know you are. You're going to come back all rejuvenated. You're going to be setting a fire.
Still bring my laptop, but you know.
Oh,
but
come on,
I'll still work a little. I can't detach completely. I don't. It's never in me to detach completely. But one of my admins is like, "Do you want me to while you're gone?" I was like, "No, no. I still got. Listen, I have internet access. I'm just not going to be." Working
You're
10
hooked.
Hours a day. So
you're hooked, man. You're it. Well, that's the digital life these days, isn't it, though? It really is.
It is, yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you all the best, all success, and have a wonderful vacation, a wonderful cruise. And we'll talk to
Much
you again
appreciated.
Sometime.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
It was
nice
a real pleasure, Randy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode, the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast. Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And check out our main website at randyselzer.com for much more valuable info on the Canadian real estate scene.